You're here for a purpose, and that is, at this moment, Lord, fulfilling your word, the part of the shout that's left to us, knowing also that the same one who has brought it and is fulfilling it is here to raise the dead, and to change us from mortality to immortality, and then to take us up to the great incarnation, the wedding supper also, and then come back in the millennium. We know these things are true, Lord. We're just waiting and biding our time for them to be fulfilled, to come into manifestation, because thus it has been spoken and thus it shall be. Help us tonight, Lord, to get into your word, the messages your prophet brought, and see them in such a way that it gives us great consolation, great faith, that absolutely, Lord, we can stand on it, which we are, and our stand on it, and we all become one, one with that great rock. Father, help us tonight. We'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated now. We're continuing in the message Brother Branham preached, the unveiling of God. And, of course, we are constantly aware that this message, the unveiling of God, is not a doctrinal dissertation on the Godhead, so much as it is a detailed description of the method God uses to reveal himself. And furthermore, we are made exceedingly aware that this revelation, or apocalypse, like the book of Revelation here at the back, is not so much one of sight as it is of hearing and understanding what is heard. And very definitely we are impressed that this definitive word revelation can only come by a prophet. Thus this whole message becomes one of a vindicated prophetic message wherein Brother Branham is literally forced to witness to himself as the end time prophet Elijah. Though this is difficult for him, it is evident by his vindication that he has no alternative. And in this sermon he constantly makes us aware of the validity and power and glory and purpose of his message. We're at a point in it wherein he is comparing the glory of the ministry of Moses, a word that the message Moses gave, and the word of this hour. And the last little paragraph we read was page 22, 133. And when this word is unveiled, oh my, what kind of a faith will it be? Now, of course, he is comparing the faith or the glory that was revealed that faded in Moses' day. When that word is unveiled, that's this hour, we're talking about his message. He is Elijah. He is the vindicated prophet. Oh, my, what kind of a faith will it be? Well, it's going to be rapturing faith. That's what it's going to be. And he says it'll have to be veiled. Now, how is it veiled? Now, there's various veils. There's the veil that we know of. We like the good kind. And there's a couple of kinds we don't like. Number one is the veil of creeds and dogmas or false interpretation. And the false interpretation, of course, is 1 Thessalonians 4, where the Lord descends with a shout, and that is the appearing, and it is called the secret appearing, the secret rapture, and everybody but us believes that to be the appearing or the catching away, and that's wrong. I mean, that part there. The appearing, that's the second coming. This is the appearing now, which is going on. Now, so we see then, false interpretation is veiling this message. Brother Branham, remember, we took 23 messages on the rapture tape, and we showed you clearly that they were not going to believe it. He tells them they won't. The second veil is the veil of the false prophets, because they say, well, look here, like they said to Moses. Moses, who do you think you are? Do you think you're the only pebble on the beach? We've got something from God, too. Notice Brother Branham uses that very statement. We've got something from God, too, and that we've got a say in this matter. You don't have the whole say. In other words, if there's going to be any speaking for God, we're going to form a committee. Exactly what they're telling him. So the false prophets with their signs and wonders have constituted a further veil to the message. And of course, with Brother Branham off the scene, there'll be greater danger than ever for people taking it to keep him from it. Then there's the third veil, which is the veil we like ourselves because we understand it, the veil of the true prophet. The word of God by the presence of Almighty God in the prophet. Now, he says it's got to be veiled. Now notice, so the spirit is veiled in a human temple. See, he just speaks the natural word with the natural veil. Alright, that's true. There's a natural word, and there is a natural veil. Now there's a supernatural word, and if you answer the truth of the matter is also a natural veil in the sense that man is an ordinary man, but he's got an office by foreknowledge and predestination. He's born the same way we're born. He eats the same kind of food. breathes the same kind of air, sleeps in the same kind of bed. Just, he said, like Jesus, we ate with him, we fished with him, we know where he was born, saw where he was laid, so what's the big deal? Well, there's a big deal there, because one is the anointed prophet of God. He's vindicated. So now he says there's, if this, speaking in terms of what they saw back there, was something which was more in the natural, like he brings it, thou shalt not, we'll go into that second. What will this be like? Now, we were already into 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, where last Sunday, where Brother Branham had taken us to in his primary reading, and he says here, in verse 6, who also made us able ministers of the New Testament. Now, we'll get that in a second. But not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. In other words, if all there was in this Bible here was just a word, and there wasn't the Spirit of God to behind it that wrote it, to infuse it in the person bringing it and the people receiving it in the hour for which it was meant, then it's nothing. It's just a book. See? All right, but if the ministration of death written in graves and stones was glorious, so the children of Israel now steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of spirit be rather glorious? Now, they're much more glorious or no comparison. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Now, you notice in here that this was a ministry unto condemnation, and it was fantastic in its trappings, in its, we might call it its ornamentation, its vindication, its proof. It was tremendous. But it didn't bring forth anything that was meritorious in the sense of true salvation. It condemned. But notice what it says, much more that the ministration of righteousness exceeding glory. Okay, now you've got a ministration here at the end time of righteousness. Not that there wasn't a ministration back there and through six church ages into the seventh, but you'll notice it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment, but that's abrogated in this hour, because man isn't going to die. We don't have a promise to die. We got a promise to live. Now, I'm not going to say that we're all going to be standing here. I'm not that stupid. But I do understand this word here. And it's not one of, death, it's one of mortality, because mortality is going to be swallowed up of immortality, and corruptibility swallowed up of incorruptibility, and death of life. So you see what you're going to. And then remember, if under Moses and the blood of a lamb, you could go 40 years without your clothes wearing out, and nobody's sick, what's this going to do? Well, the people say, well, it looks like it's doing nothing. We better have revival. I've got news for you. You better wait for the real revival of God, which we're in the sense of the word. You know, we're coming to something greater than shoes not wearing out. As I'm going to tell you flat, at that time when they went out of Egypt and they went into the promised land, there was not a resurrection. There will be one today. So you see, you talk about your shoes not wearing out. God's going to bring back the very gases that the bodies have gone into and put and clothe them, because the Holy Ghost touched those cells. They're going to come back in a changed form, because you're going to be you and I will be I, and we'll be back here, see? Now, also notice here, in the Garden of Eden, when Eve was there with Adam, they were both innocent, they weren't righteous. Now today, we're not innocent, but we're righteous. There's a big difference. Nobody's going to say, well, I didn't do it, because you didn't do it, but God's going to come along and say you didn't do it. And who's going to argue with God? Now that's right, he said to Eve, he said, you did it. She said, no, the serpent did it. He said, Adam, you did it. He said, no, she did it. He said, I see I got problems on my hands. The last bunch, I'll say, you didn't do it in the first place. Well, come on, that's the Bible. I'm just quoting you the Word of God. It says, this is going to righteous exceed in glory. Oh, you better believe it. Well, this is going to be the greatest of all. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. Well, everything Luther and all these people had are peanuts alongside of this. And I'm not denigrating anything that God has done. I'm just making a little little witness here about, you might say, a peanut to the size of a locomotive or an old hill to the size of a mountain. See, that's what you got to look at. It's not saying there wasn't any glory there, but it Forget it in the sight of this. See, everybody always wants to look back. Always wants, why do you bother looking back? I know Luther was a great man, Wesley was a great man, great Pentecostals, great this, great that, great. Fine, wonderful. People came on the scene in the days of Jesus, and they said, oh, great men, great prophets, great this, and Jesus, hold, he said, John the Baptist, the greatest whole bunch of them. I said, man alive, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Well, God knows that he's saying it, he wouldn't have said it. They saw the same thing today. See? So don't get carried away with what you think you see in Scripture, what you thought you saw. Get carried away with what you are seeing now. John the Baptist is the greatest preacher by introducing Jesus Christ. What about William Branham? I don't know, but I know one thing. He's no small chicken feed. You just leave that to God. But I'll tell you one thing. There's a message he's bringing that eclipses everybody's message in this particular sense. Because this is going to see the fullness of glory. Paul wanted to see the first resurrection. He's always said that I wish I could be a part of it. I may attend it. But there was no way he could at that time. But now they will be. See, you come to the place of the ultimate faith. Not resurrection faith anymore. That's fine and dandy. We don't need it. The people ahead of us died with it. Jesus said, he that liveth and breatheth shall never perish. Do you believe this? But she was believing for the fact of the resurrection. A lot of people talk about a resurrection. Oh, hallelujah. Then they forget about Elijah coming to restore. And the old story goes on once again. We've got Moses. Who needs Jesus? We've got Jesus. Who needs Elijah? Well, who needs anything? Gone. You haven't got any garment on. A few people can sit around pretending they're feasting on the manna from heaven and they're just eating vomit. Well, you know who eats vomit. It goes back to the puddle. That's what God said. I didn't say it. I had no fight with anybody. Now, for that which is done away is glorious, that much more that which remaineth is glorious. I want to ask you a question. Does anything remain today? You show me what does if this is a perfect message. If Revelation 10 is right the way the prophet preached it, you tell me what's missing. Now, where are you in today? Where's the glory today? Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And that word hope isn't what people think it is. It's earnest expectation. We use great plainness of speech. Great boldness. We're not afraid to open our mouths. Not as Moses put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look at the end that was abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil was done away in Christ. All right, if you read the Old Testament right, then Jesus took the whole thing away. Well, then, if you read if you're reading right, Elijah comes, he takes all the rest away. You're brought right back to Christ again, Alpha and Omega. Jesus Christ, the same day and forever, coming in the form of the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles, doing the same thing he did when he was upon earth in flesh. In other words, that which was incarnated, not the carnate itself, but that which was pre-existent. That's a poor word. Pre-eternal. That's a poor word. Always was. But you want to put it, the one that incarnated himself is here tonight. The same one. And now he's revealed. But even on this day when Moses read, the veil's upon the heart. Notice it's from the mind to the heart. Get the mind lined up with the word of God. That's where repentance is. Change your mind. It'll get down in the heart. The Holy Spirit take it down in there in the soul. Plug up every channel, then come back by the Spirit. You become living epistles. We're coming to the place of stature, perfect man. Don't give up, brother, sister. Don't give up. God's going to do it in spite of you. I know people say, well, I think myself, you just stop your thinking. Why don't you just relax? God never asked you to think. He did all the thinking and brought a prophet to straighten out any thinking that God did that people led you astray on. He said it's birthed in you. So if people get confused about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they think the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes way down the road. You get baptized and you get filled and filled and filled till you're living statue to Almighty God, Brother Brand said. I know people say, well, that's beyond you. Sure, it's beyond you. That's right. Confess it's beyond you. It's not beyond God. Remember old Jeremiah out there and saw the potter, went to visit the potter, and the potter had marred the vessel? He said, that's no good. You slapped the thing down and started over, made a good vessel. You ever seen anybody put a potter's clay on a potter's wheel and make a vessel? Man, it's interesting. They did that for us one time. We were kids. It was a Chautauqua program. It was very interesting. And this fellow said, "Now I'm going to show you something." He said, "See how perfect this pot looks?" And then he took a wire and he cut the pot in two. It was crooked. A lot of things look pretty good, but it's inside God looks at. If he's in there, Brother Brand said, all he does, he can't see you. He just hears your voice through the blood and he sees your representation, Jesus Christ. All right. Nevertheless, when that heart will turn to the Lord, the veil will be taken away, the mind turn to the Lord, the heart get right. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now he tells you right there that the change in the bride started coming in the time of Luther. Until there'll be a bride at the end time standing right there, the spotless virgin bride, the Lord Jesus Christ, through justification, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, standing there with the complete word of Almighty God, ready to be exposed. Manifest. Seeing therefore we have this ministry, as we've received mercy, we faint not. Now Paul tells you right there, it's going to come, just like he brought it, it's going to come at the end time. And it's going to bring forth Christ. It's going to bring forth Christ in a bride. Absolutely. And it's going to bring him right down here to earth. All right? We're looking at that tonight then. Now Paul speaking here, now notice he says, and Paul speaking here, and in this sense, the Spirit Word. Notice, the Spirit Word. Now he doesn't say I'm a minister of the Spirit as though I can give you the Holy Ghost. Neither can any man give you the Holy Ghost. That's like Brother Brad said, apply the token. What token are you going to apply? Say, I'm going to apply the Holy Ghost. Just try and do it. Well, he tells you right here what the secret is. It's the Spirit Word. The measure of the Word and the measure of the Holy Spirit are the same because they're one and the same. Because the Word is the conduit. There's got to be a veil. There's got to be something to conduct it. There's got to be something there to bring it. So the Word is there. So the Spirit brings the Word, and that Word then He fills. See, He enlivens it. Now, we are ministers not of the letter, the law, but of the member, but ministers, able ministers of the Spirit. That the Spirit takes the letter and manifests it. Now, He's telling you right here that I'm standing here at this point, and at the end time, there'll be a man standing there at that point. Peter brings that up. Paul, y'all bring it up. At that end point, and that Word is going to be taken and revealed, Holy Spirit filled, and a man preaching it is going to cause that to bring forth what God wants that Word to bring forth. Now, somebody's going to say, now, just a minute, God's going to do it on His own. God is doing it on His own, big nose and big mouth. That's the whole thing. That's why He took a prophet, not what somebody else said. Because I know what people got in their mind. Well, you know, I'm here. You're sure you're here, and you're going to stay there, too. And I can tell a rubber $1 bill from a genuine $1 bill. You're like hypocrites. They stretch everywhere. That's none but a hypocrite talking right there. Now we'll listen to what Brother Branham said. He said, Paul said, we're ministers. Not of the letter. Certainly, they didn't bring this forth on their own. No way, shape, and form. God did it. But you see, God uses the method He wants to use. And this is where everybody's up in arms, except a few people like us who understand God in the prophet and God in the prophet. See? Now, Brother Bannon said, I was only one standing there. He said, I'm not the one that is doing these things. He said, I wasn't the one that appeared down there. I was the only one standing there when He appeared. And he said, I'm not the one that does these things so perfect and says these things so perfect. Certainly not. But if he's required by God and ordained of God to do it, then it's going to be done by that person. Always somebody wants to jump in and grab the ball and run with it. Now he's going back to talk about Moses again. That was just law. You had to go look at it and say, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not do this, that, and the other. What's he saying? Well, he said, there they are. He went and looked at it. He said, oh, here's what it says here. Thou shalt not, thou shalt, no. What was he looking at? He's looking at tables of stone. See, now what's this? But this is spirit that comes upon the promised word for this age. Not another age now. And brings forth and manifests not two tables of stone, but the presence of the living God. Now let's go over that and watch it. But this is spirit. What spirit? Ephesians 1:17. The spirit of wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of Him is what we're talking about, because this is the hour for resurrection and rapturing faith. And this is what's going to be. It's going to be the revelation of His presence, because that Spirit's got to come to the church, not to the individual now. It's coming to the bride. Coming into the church. This is not the baptism, this is the baptizer. This is just not knowledge, this is the one of knowledge. The knowledge giver, the omniscient one. But this Spirit that comes upon the promised word for this age, and brings forth and manifests, not two tables of stone, but the presence of the living God, which is Revelation 10 and 1. Now remember Junior Jackson's dream. Brother Branham took a crowbar and knocked off the top of the mountain. It was a little pyramid. And in there was a white rock with nothing written on it. Now he said, stand here and look at this till I come back. All right. They were looking at the word of the past, see, which couldn't live. There had to be the new word, the new message. And remember, it never came written in stone. When they waited, he came back with seven angels to bring the word of God. And what's in the seven angels? The very presence. Now, I know we can get confused about presence, but I can tell you, God can go up and down like a yo-yo if he wants to, and there's many complex ways. His presence started in 1933. And he's still here. Because if God doesn't take the Spirit, he takes the man. And the pillar of fire will lead it to the millennium. All right, let's go to page 29, and we'll just read this and come right back. 184, paragraph. Oh, brother, sister, are you catching it? Look, don't you see? It's been veiled through these ages according to what God said, and it will be opened in the last days. Those seven seals will be broke. And the fourth thing would come into view of the people. What took place all along? The hour of the seventh angel's message. All the mysteries of God should be known in that Elijah, in this last hour, how that Christ is put out of his church, Son of God, how he's revealed as Son of Man again, how the church is to be put in order, and everything for the last day, no creed, no denomination, just absolutely word living in the individual. I'll take one and leave one. And that's their separation there. Then they'll be taken in the rapture. I'll take this and leave that. See, there's no strings, no denomination, no bindings, no nothing. It's the heart with God and him alone. All right, here's what you see then. Now he said, the presence of the living God, not a mythical thought somebody made up or some Houdini trick, but the very promise of God revealed and made manifest right before us. What sort of veil will that be behind? All right, that's Malachi 4. He's coming to take away, to bring immortality, to take the saints to the wedding supper, to bring them back and tread on the ash of the wicked. And he's right here with Elijah to see we get away. All right. Presence of God is said right there. This end time message will bring the presence of the living God. Now the former messages couldn't do it. Now, this is where people are that still say they believe this message and differ from us simply can't see this. They don't understand. Brother Branham said, Luther looked for the pillar of fire. Well, I got to read the book, says a smart man with the PhD and all these things. Oh, you say Luther looked for the pillar of fire? The prophet said it. If you're so smart, give me a sign. Man, I got a couple of hangnails here that need healing. And you know, my nose has got hair in it that bugs me. I've got rid of the hair in my nose. Let's make it good. Let's see him do something. Why are they talking? He said, "Wrestle it for the pillar of fire." And he might as well have gone further and said, in Pentecost thought they had it. William Branham had it. Same pillar of fire that spoke in the bush was the same word when that spoke in the bush to William Brown. The same pillar of fire hanging there. He manifests himself here in another form up here. As the judge. People get so confused about names. Then they want to put each name in a certain order. Well, I know he's the Son of Man, but he's still the Son of God. It's a ministry. I know he's the King. He always was. Always will be, but he's not sitting on the throne yet. That is this throne down here. He's on the other one. He's not become incarnated. He's the Lord of the Valley, the Rose of Sharon. People get so confused. What's to be confused? The light's shining on his brother, sisters. No, we haven't got confusion anymore. Whole little thoughts here and there that we just haven't lined up, but so what? I'm going to tell you, if you had a house this far built right now, and the payments this far to where we are today, you'd see, I got me a house. Well, what about that cupboard there? Well, now that's never mind about that cupboard. It's part of the plan. Just keep your nose out of my cupboard, and you won't slam the door in your nose. That's the way to do it. Just You'd like to keep lice out of your hair, keep noses out of your cupboard. What sort of a veil will that be behind? Well, the world's got its veils thrown over the people and over it. What veil will this have? Elijah. Why? Because he's going to restore. Going to bring back. And that word is not going to be in stone this time. It's going to be in human flesh, and it already has been. See, that was so great till even the people said, when they saw Jehovah come down, this pillar of fire began to shake the earth, and the things he did, the mountain on fire. Even if anybody tried to go to that mountain, perish. It was so great till even Moses feared the quake. Then if at that time he shook the mountain, this time he'll shake heaven and earth. Well, certainly he will. He certainly will. Let's go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. We've read this a lot of times. Let's read quite a bit of it. It tells you here that wherefore seeing verse, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside every weight. And the sin which easily besets us, and run the patience that race set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, he doesn't just say he's the author, he says he's a finisher. Well, how's he going to finish it? He's going to finish it at the end time. With the finishing up people. Seven church ages. Now the end time faith is in view. See? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And he's going to get crucified again by the people, so to speak. Despising the shame, set down the right hand the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. He's telling you right there, watch that ecclesiastical veil they're going to hurl at you. You've not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. Not one of us have. Jesus sweat drops of blood. And you've forgotten the exhortation, speaking unto his own children, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, and your faint when thou rebuke him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son that he receives. Now, do you think God just bops you around? See, you say, that made me feel good to just bop you on the head. God's not bopping anybody around. Well, Brother Branham said, we come to church so we might get corrected. Our fellowship and all around the world want a correction. Getting ourselves lined up. You endure chastening and training. God gives you sons. For what son is he your father chastens not or doesn't correct or bring up right? But if you be without chastisement, without training, then you're all part, or we all must partake, then you're bastards, not sons. Furthermore, we have the fathers of our flesh to correct us, we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father's spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of holiness. All right, it tells you right there at this end time picture of the end time faith, there's going to be a lot of chastening, which is that scripture tells us, Revelation 3, the end time message is one of repentance. In other words, just dig everything out. Don't come up with trying to be something smart. Just dig everything out of your head that used to be there. And let the good word come in. Now, no training for chastening for the present seems joyous, but grievous afterward. And nevertheless, afterward, use the peaceful fruit of the spirit righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Rather, let it be healed. Fall at peace with all men, and hold no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now, remember, there's a special grace at the end time. In Peter, the special grace of this hour. You see, now lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now that's a very strong warning that we have to heed, and I especially here because we take very strong stands against things. We must heed that we don't cause bitterness in people because we take a very strong stand. Because you could get people defiled, almost pull up the wheat with the tares. Lest there be any fornicator, profane persons Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For, you know, afterward he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. He found no place of repentance, though he saw to carry the tares. Now, that's at the end time. That's Hebrews 6 right there. The burning of the tares. Now, listen. I'll tell you why, because watch the next verse. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. He's talking right about what Brother Branham talks for this hour. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice that they heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with the dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Now watch, but you are come unto Mount Zion. Now here's where we are today. And unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all. And judgment cannot set in till the last hour. There's no way. And to the spirits of just men made perfect. I don't think that's the dead, that's the living. And to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now notice how he brings out the blood there. There's no loss of the blood. On the mercy seat, off the mercy seat, do what you want with it. Gone back to the elements. That's not the point with me. The point is the blood was shed. It satisfied every claim of justice, indignation, everything else. And Jesus, the mediator. And what's he done? Brother Branham said, and this would be Jesus in the form of the Holy Spirit, the same one that was on earth, stood between man and God at that time, hung between heaven and earth, right between the two. Now he's down here as the great mediator. He, the one that started the redemption in the Garden of Eden, is here finishing it. And the blood is speaking better things than that of Abel. What was Abel? He was the first man to die. What's it speaking today? There's going to be a group that doesn't die. See? See that you refuse not him to speak it. Now tells you something here. Don't you refuse him to speak it. He's never stopped speaking. For if they escape not and refuse him to spoke on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that is from heaven. Doesn't say speak, it says that's from heaven. The mighty one came down, Revelation 10 and 1, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Now he's telling you something's going on. Now what was this? This was right after they came out and were ready to go into the promised land as a sanctified people, led by a prophet and the Holy Ghost with the word of Almighty God. We got the same thing right today. But the prophet's gone, we're led by the pillar of fire. This word once more, signifying removing of those things that are shaken as the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. Here you are back to grace again. Whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is the consuming fire. He's a pillar of fire. So here we are. We know who our God is. We're right back where we were, right where we should be, right at the end time message. Now, what about this glory? The one that's going to shake heaven and earth. If that was veiled by a natural veil, this is veiled by a spiritual veil. So don't try to look at the natural. Now, what's a natural veil? The prophet is a natural veil of this message, let's face it. And the people also that are listening. Now, he said, try to look at the natural. Don't try to look at it. Break into the spiritual. In the spirit. And see where you're at. See what hour we're living in. Now, if you maintain the status quo of the fundamentalist, you will not see the prophet and the message of the hour. You will merely see God in his acts and manifesting himself in the signs and wonders, if indeed you will even see that much, because many will not. So don't try to look at the natural. In other words, don't just stand there either and look at the whole thing and put it down as some great phenomenon and say, what is going on anyway? There's something behind this. Don't hear the voice the great man heard that says, hey, this is the way it's done in the Bible. You can do this. Oh, gosh. Well, he heard the right thing in this sense. He went out and did that. But he didn't see the prophet, and he didn't see the ministry of prophets. He just saw the great works. That's wonderful, but that's not it. I'd sooner see a man like that than somebody out here denying God and all those things, but brother, sister, if you're going to end up in the same mess, then what does it do? shows that being where Jesus said, if you had not said we see, then your sin would not remain. But now that you say you see, then your sin remaineth. He said, if you'd have said we don't see, then you'd escape. But these people say we see. See? So they end up where the barren fundamentals is, which is, I'm sorry for that, but chaff is chaff, and that's nothing to do with me and you. That's the word of God. And if we're chaff, then we're chaff, whatever we are. But, you know, we're kind of fatalistic on that. See, so don't try to look at the natural, break in the spirit, and see where you're at, or what hour we're living in. Now look, there's nobody, I don't care in his right mind if he's at all got a modicum of sense and intelligence. And you look at the ministry of Brother Branham, you know there's got to be something behind it. And why not try to find what's behind it? That's what he's telling the people. Look, just don't stand there and look at it. Three kinds of people. One, but I don't know them. One says, well, it's the devil. One says, it's God. Three kinds of believers. All down the line. He says, don't do that. He said, don't do it. Does it make sense to you? See, it's a spiritual veil that's over the people saying, I'm Methodist. What does that mean? Well, it means I believe what they teach. I'm Baptist. I believe what they teach. I'm Pentecost. I believe what they teach. And so, therefore, if you're going to interpret it, you've got to leave what they teach. And if you interpret it without leaving what you teach, you'll go wrong. Don't you realize that thing is a traditional veil? What did Jesus say? By your traditions, you make void the word of God. It's worse than that. You make void the promise. People come along and say, well, that's the Brother Branham preached on the rapture. That's nonsense. Forget it. You just blew it. You haven't got a promise for the rapture. I don't care what you say. The Bible denies that you've got a promise. You blew it. You voided to yourself the very word of God. That's why I'm so happy to know that we can take this message for healing, because it's a message of restoration. And restoration includes healing. Includes immortality. It includes everything. Safety. Preservation. Final redemption. Glorification. This is going to do it. He said, well, I just don't know about that. Well, I do know about it. It's been vindicated. See, well, are you going to put your hope there? Sure, I'm putting my hope there. I'd be a fool not to. We got something to stand on. These other guys got hit and miss. Sure is hit and miss. I can go to a Catholic church and see a virgin crying real tears and stretch my hand out and get healed. The Pope can talk in tongues. I don't need hit and miss. One day you'll get hit and you won't get missed either. If you don't line up. That's when the judgments come upon this earth. They'll be too late. The Bible says so. There'll be no place to flee. Hide as in the wrath of the Lamb. Won't work. Oh, you see, I shout and I jump. Up and down. See, they substitute something for it. He said every word. Now that's a big claim right there. Prophet comes on and says every word. Well, what's he talking about? God unveiling. How is he unveiling? Through a prophet. A word ministry. More specific than anything else. Because the thus saith the Lord and the signs and the wonders are only to get your attention so you'll come to the word. So the word is everything. When God heals the sick and this and that, he's just standing behind his word. He said, what did he do? Been doing it all along. There's references all through history. Great things have been done through the ages. But this is immortality time, brother, sister. This is different. Yes, sir. No longer is that scripture there that about the point unto man wants to die. No, sir. We've got a spiritual resurrection right now. It's already gone on, going on right now. Every word. He believed every word but one. See, it's the full word of God, the promise of this hour made manifest. That's Revelation 10 and 7. 1 Corinthians 13, 9, that was the perfect has come. The mighty one came down. All the mysteries revealed. Notice, we go on. Got plenty to speak of here and so on. Paragraph 142. He is veiled with a natural veil before he could speak the word to the people. Now, God has to veil himself as he promised in human flesh. Now in there, he doesn't say who he's talking about or who is veiled. But you could pretty well put it down that then there's a natural veil, and the natural veil is always the human body. You could say that before he could speak to the people. So Jesus Christ, the Word, is always veiled in a human being. Now God has to veil himself as he promised in human flesh. So he's talking about a prophet there. He had to use a human veil, a natural veil, a human body. And that's the way God does it. So God has to veil himself as he promised in human flesh. See? Do you get it? God has to veil himself in human flesh and put a spiritual veil over them. And they'll say, well, I'm this, I'm that. Now here's Brother Branham, he's drawing a picture here of a prophet of God before the people, and the prophet stands before the people, God's in the prophet, he's speaking forth the word, and the people won't take it because they've got that veil over their faces, that veil of creeds and dogmas. In order to speak to the people, when that veil, which is a traditional veil, is torn apart, then that what they say, why the days of miracle is past. Now, let's just look at that for a second. How low on the totem pole of spiritual revelation and conception is a person who believes in an omnipotent God who doesn't perform miracles at some time or other? I mean, you deny, to say that God doesn't perform miracles is literally to deny the Godhead. What kind of a God have you got anyway? So that fellow's way low on the totem pole right there. And believe me, there's a lot of them. Church of Christ has got nothing but that. Unless you leave it. The Baptists don't have very many. They talk about 25% of the Baptists, maybe 25% of the Methodists are there. Sometimes the figures go as high as 80. I doubt that very much. But, you see, they don't even believe in a God. Now, they'll mouth Hebrews 13 and 8, but they don't believe it. Or they'll say, well, God does it by doctors. Well, that's fine. But that's not necessarily miracles. A doctor can't perform a miracle. All a doctor can do is try to help the healing like the thing, you get ahead. All right, a guy said the other day to the Baptist preacher out there, Brother Green, Brother Branham, there's one thing God against you. He said, you're trying to make the people, it was down to Maudie and so on, you're trying to make the people even in apostolic age to live today like they were in an apostolic age. The apostolic age sees the apostles. I said, it did? He said, yeah. I said, who is the spokesman to the apostolic age? He said, the 12 in the upper room. I said, then Paul was up. The spokesman was Peter, and Peter said in the day of Pentecost, when they saw this going on, the Holy Ghost working, he said, the promise is unto you and to your children, and them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. If he's still calling, then the same thing is here. Now that's just plain sense. Just plain sense. When did the apostolic age cease then? The apostolic age ceases when God ceases to call. Now that's just plain sense. Now, I don't care if anybody sees the miracles and all, but God's out there doing them somewhere. That's the whole thing. If he's not doing it in our church, then it's not being done, or the devil's doing it. Boy, you let somebody get something really good in the church, and oh, hallelujah, we're right in God's pocket. Breast pocket of that. Actually, in his hip pocket, they're going to have sat on. You might as well put the pocket where it is. I never was too bashful at doing things like that. He said, apostolic age ceases when God ceases to call. He never said a thing, but picked up his hat and walked away. See, it takes the word to do it. It's the word. Jesus told Satan it's written, you see. It's written. All right, Peter said it would never end. As many as the Lord called. It wouldn't end until God was through calling. And that's going to be just the 16th verse, the first, the 14th verse of Ephesians 1. Peter said it would never end. As many as the Lord called, this blessing was for them. Now you say he stopped. When? No harm done? I said, no, sir, not a bit. Go ahead. See, you see, Peter said it was for everyone God would call, would receive the same apostolic blessing. Yes, that's the word of the Lord today, see. Now, the natural veil. God, the Word, veiled in human flesh. Now, flesh is all natural. Now, Jesus wasn't. It was natural flesh insofar it was born. Remember, he had sperm and egg that you and I don't have. And remember, the body built around it would be then different from yours and mine, in a very grave sense of the matter. All about it, I wouldn't know, but we just leave it at that. All right? God, the Word, veiled in human flesh. What was it? God was veiled in Moses. Nobody else, see? God was in Moses veiled, and the presence of God was in him. Careful. God was in Moses veiled, and the presence of God was in Moses. Now, many people would say, yes, you see, God is present by the prophet. I say the prophet's gone and God is still present. There's a picture right there. He's not in the prophet. Now, you got to get down where Moses, where Brother Branham describes this in Moses, but just keep your mind open now, see. Moses was so perfect with that word in him like that, till he had to veil his face. Now, Moses was so perfect with that word. In other words, Moses was no more Moses. At that point, his complete identity and identification was actually lost, except he stood there. Like Brother Branham said, a prophet can only say what God puts in his mouth and makes him say, and he may even disagree with what he is saying when he hears himself say it. Bit of a paraphrase, but that's what the prophet said. All right? And it was a vindicated prophet that unfolded the word and told them, thou shalt not, thou shalt not see. All right, then you see the presence of the prophet proven by vindication. Now that's Deuteronomy. Now you say, is this true? Yes, it is true, because Moses said, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you like me. And if it is true, and it is, John 14 and 10, let's go take a look at it, just because that's where we'll read it. All right? Believest thou not that I am in the Father in me? The words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Now, if Jesus is typed after Moses, then God had better be in Moses. You follow? Well, why? I don't know why people stumble over that. If Jesus was God, then Moses was God. But he was God to the people. He wasn't God like this God, like Jesus was God. But you know, people writing this message, they just can't take that. I don't want to keep hammering on that, but the point is this. If you're going to believe this message the way Brother Branham preaches it, and I'm teaching it word by word here, you're going to have to let your thinking go and become expanded. I've had to do that with mine, because I'm very conservative. You know, coming out of Canada, and at my age, you're very conservative. I came down here, and I was so much against marriage and divorce, man, I would have just hamstrung anybody on the principle alone, but I've got a little bit lenient. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm getting a little more expansive down here, maybe to my detriment. But I'm very conservative. very hidebound. And I've had to let my thinking go like few people have to let their thinking go. See, I'm so inured with it. Just as, now Jesus is going to antitype the type perfectly, then you got to put it right back where God was in Moses. The presence of God. God was present when Moses was there. And God was still present when Moses didn't have God in him. See? Now, to give his word, God's word to that generation, he veiled himself in a human being. Or the word would have blinded even the called out. Why, it's Logos. Logos in the person expressing himself makes a prophet. Now, Logos by himself, there's problems. Even the people that were out there, they could not stand to see that. In Exodus, they said, let Moses speak, not God. See why the pillar of fire does not appear too much? Man's not made to take it. Can't do it. God said, I'll raise him up a prophet. I'll raise him up one. Came just exactly. And he'll be the word. He said, if they want to see what the word is, said, now Moses, I appeared to you yonder in that burning bush. I said, I'm going to come down and set that mountain on fire. And said, they'll see that you've told the truth. I'll appear here in the same burning way. I'll appear here and prove to the people. I'll vindicate your ministry. That's what he told Moses in so many words. Well, you've got the picture right here. He talks about it. Now notice, he said, I'm going to glorify you before the people. Woo-wee. You say, Brother Branham, God is going to glorify you? Well, we got the type here again. God's voice said, I've glorified you and glorify you again. Jesus said, glorify me with the glory of before the foundation of the world. He said, I've glorified you and I'm going to glorify you again. Now, Moses is the true type and Jesus the anti-type, then God glorified Moses. And of course, Moses got too big for himself and too big for God and he glorified himself. Sure, he struck the wrong choice. Oh, poor people. I wouldn't want to be a prophet. I got an awful trouble now just being as rotten as I am. I got a bad job myself. All right. I'm going to glorify. I said, now, you told them that I met you out there in a burning bush. Now I'm going to come down, same fire. I'm going to let the people see they never, you never lied about. Now watch here. And scientifically prove it even. Come on, how scientific? Somebody's own ministry. So he mentioned that in other places, that's why I know that for sure. But there's no cameras back there in those days in scientific. They saw the real thing, don't worry. And they weren't trying to, you know how we look at the eclipse of the sun, we put a tub of water out, then we look at the tub of water and see the sun eclipse, then you don't hurt your eyes. Well, they didn't even do that. They saw that fire come down, everything quick, and they plumb got scared to death. I'm going to come right down and let them know. And when he began to thunder, Jehovah started thundering. He said, no, don't let Jehovah speak, we're dying. Now, whether people want it or not, they say, well, that was that bunch of birds. What has that got to do with me? Too bad, you're stuck. So I don't think that's fair. Well, talk to God about it. Well, you're stuck with Adam, aren't you? I don't know. You know, people aren't consistent. I know, I'm not too consistent myself. Well, you know that. But look, this word of God's very consistent. Had a great prophet teach it. So he had to be veiled. So God veiled himself in Moses and gave Moses the word. And Moses came down and spoke the word of the Lord in a veil over his face. That's right. Now you know the reason why? Because that glory was going to fade. So, we don't worry about today. Alright, that right. Jehovah veiled in the form of a prophet. Now listen, Jehovah veiled in the form of a prophet. Cause it would have absolutely, see they couldn't take it, and God said he wouldn't speak to them anymore like that. He would only speak to them by a prophet. Now that is absolutely, thus saith the Lord. You know that and I know that. That's the only way he would ever speak from then on. That's the only way he's ever spoke, that's right, never any other way, and he doesn't lie. Now, Brother Brown is presenting his case. As Moses, as Jesus, as Paul, so am I. But you'll notice, he does not go even to Jesus very much. He throws Paul to Jesus, then he throws himself back on, I beg your pardon, he throws Moses to Jesus. See? Lets him sit there. Jesus sit there. Then he throws himself back on Moses because it's Exodus. See, you're dealing with Exodus. Not only Moses had, now notice, only Moses had the word. Now there wasn't a group come down. There wasn't a bunch of just Pharisees or Sadducees. It wasn't a sect or a clan. It was Moses. He got one man. He can't get two or three minds. He takes one man. Notice he can't get two or three minds. He didn't say two or three men, because that means two or three minds, two or three men. Moses had the word. and Moses alone. Joshua even didn't have it. No one else had it. Amen. Joshua was a general. Joshua was a commander in the army. Joshua was a believer, a Christian. Sure he was. Christos, Messiah, same thing. But Moses was a prophet. The word can't come to Joshua. It's got to come to Moses. He was a major prophet of that hour. Notice, the word never did come to Joshua till Moses was gone. And what kind of a word was that? Just a corroboration of the same word. Wasn't anything fresh. Just helped me carry out his commands. God can speak to any of us that way. But not with angels appearing like to Joshua. I wouldn't consider that. If he wanted to do it, he could do it, but he's not doing it, as far as we know. Notice, the word never came to Joshua and Moses gone. See? No, sir. God deals with one at a time. God is one. See? Now, only Moses had the word, not a group. So, therefore, if there's two gods, he'd have two people. One God, one person. See, that's what he's telling you here. Look, God warned any person not to try to follow Moses into that veil. Impersonators. Well, what veil is he talking about right then? Well, you couldn't follow Moses into Moses' flesh. Talking about the pillar of fire. Veil in the pillar of fire. See, woman, man, priest, whoever it was, how godly, how much honor, how much they were. He warned, let Moses come alone. And if any man, even an animal, touch it, must be killed right there. Never break before that veil. That veil belongs to one person. Pillar of fire. That message is one, see? In the temple, one man went in once a year anointed and fixed to go in. Not to bring out the word, but to offer blood. To even walk in there before it. Only one. Any other man died, see? They spiritually die now. This is a spiritual veil, see? That was a natural veil. This is a spiritual veil, see? They keep walking right on in behind there. You can tell them, oh, I know that, but I. Go ahead, it's all right, it only speaks. You remember the last plague in Egypt was death before the Exodus. The last plague on earth is spiritual death before the Exodus. Then they'll be cremated and turned back to the dust. The righteous will walk upon their ashes, but the last thing is spiritual death, rejecting the word. All right, the denominations then and painting me are their own prophets. And they walk right in the veil of the prophets, what their prophets said. And they intrude into private interpretation when they don't have the right, and they die thereby. They say, we've heard from God. This is it. We figured out. Dr. So-and-so, what do you think? I think that's a pretty good guess. Okay, we'll call it that. I challenge you to pick up any book on theology you know and find out what Ephesians 1:17 is, according to those guys who wrote it. Go to all your libraries and find every book on theology you can. Read that one verse. See what they come up with. They have no more idea than Hogan's goat what's going to happen in the end time. The revelation of Matthew 12 and Matthew 4 of Christ appearing to the Gentiles in the form of the Holy Spirit, Son of Man, no more than nothing. Luke 17 and 30 haven't got a clue. Because you see, they're blinded to the fact of the flesh. Henceforth know we no man after the flesh, even Jesus. They can't take their own theologians of Ephesians, the fourth chapter. He comes back as the Holy Ghost. Why? He always was the Holy Ghost. They don't understand attributes and their forms and what God can do. Oneness comes along and says, well, he sucked up the body. He didn't suck up the body. The body's on the throne. ripped the seals off, climbed on the throne. The one came down here. Putting all things in order. The church getting the church in order. The spirit of wisdom, revelation to the church. Yeah. The gifts in a little room, that's to me, has become a smokescreen. That means hardly anything anymore. They're on the shelf, as it were. That age is over. You're into Revelation. All right, he says here, they spiritually die now, the spiritual veil. Okay, 158. Now notice, God warned any person not to try to follow Moses into the veil of fire. See, that's the veil he's talking about. Moses was to be veiled. He had to come out of there. But people, they pretend they're in the veil of fire, though. And when they say that, then God says, okay, you say so, then that's counting. That's right. See, you say you see, then all right, you're accountable. See, you gotta know the scripture, brother, sister, when you're dealing at the end time. It's all revealed to us now. It's all in plain view. There's nothing in this hour that we don't know for our own good. Alright. Now watch. Moses was to be veiled. He had to come out of there. And Moses went in as Moses. And Moses went in as Moses. Went into this pillar of fire. And when he walked back out, he was veiled. For he went into that, out of his traditions, the traditions of the elders. He saw the pillar of fire, but now he goes into the pillar of fire. See, amen. And he came forth veiled, God's word in a man veiled. Now he talks about Moses being veiled, and he talks about the word being veiled. Here he come walking out, oh my, I can see it. Warn nobody else to try it. Nobody can impersonate that. You better not see, even a priest or a holy man, whoever was cardinal, bishop, anything else, trying to go into that veil died. God warned them, we'll have no impersonations. All right, His Word is revealed to one. It's always been a prophet came with the Word of the Lord each age, every time down through Scripture, see. The Word comes to one. In every age, the same. Even in the church ages, from the very first to the last. Others have their places, that's right, notice, but stay away from that pillar of fire. Don't even claim that you got a definitive revelation of the hour, whether you're one person or many people, and you don't have the evidence. Because then God will just count it right to you. See, you said it, that's it. Okay? You watch how the false prophets come up in that day, brothers and sisters, warn you, you can't get away with it. What a lesson we learned here. See, everybody wanted to be a Moses. Well, of course, you do that, then you're in competition with God. That's what you are, because God's got His own way of doing things. What if God had a prophet here and somebody else said, well, I think I'm going to just take over. You're in competition with God. If there's a true fivefold ministry, the false is in competition with God. They're not in competition with the men that God ordained. They're in competition with God. That gift, brother, sister, if you understand gifts at all, and I hope you're beginning to understand, you've got to be very careful of gifts, because it isn't the man anymore. I mean, he could come up here in this pulpit here and with a gift and just be fantastic. Joe, what a great person. Hogwash, he ain't nothing but nothing. There's a gift in operation. See, Moses got carried away and he glorified himself. Moses wasn't anybody outside of God. He was the same bird that killed the Egyptian, doing God a service. Now he goes ahead and glorifies himself in front of the people. What kind of service was that doing God? What about Elisha? That wasn't right in anger to do what he did. Men have gifts and then people get carried away because of those gifts. No, get carried away because of the giver. The great one behind it all. It's too bad that people don't understand more and just know the ways of God and how God does things and then just sit back and enjoy, as Brother Branham said. Just relax. See? Remember what Dathan and them said out there. They said, now Moses, wait here just a minute. You take too much upon yourself, see? Now there's other men here that's called, that God has called. That was true. Each one was falling fine as long as each one went along. But one tried to step up and take another's place. God's position that he gave Moses, which was predestined and ordained to do that job, tried to take it. Fire came down, opened up the earth and swallowed them right into it. See, be careful. See, just be good, godly Christians, believing the word. See, stay away from that pillar. What a lesson. He's saying the same thing today. What's going to come down and devour the adversaries? Who are the real adversaries? Those false prophets. The word Antichrist means instead of. Doesn't mean against, it means instead of. That's why the Pope is Antichrist. He's instead of. He flaunts and says, I'm here instead of Christ. Hogwash. Well, he may be to somebody else, some people out there, you know. I don't know. And I won't make a joke of it because it's too serious. Stay away from that pillar of fire. Stay away from those people that are in competition with God. That are Antichrist. Those false prophets. See? Okay. If they'd contacted Logos, they'd have a sign. God would give us a sign. God had first appeared to Moses in a burning bush. God was veiled in the pillar of fire. Now listen real close now for a minute. God first came to Moses. He was veiled. There he was. God was veiled, see? God was in a pillar of fire, hid back in a bush, see, like behind the skin, see, back by the mercy seat at the altar, see? He is veiled. He's always veiled. And when he came to Moses, he was in a pillar of fire, veiled in the pillar of fire. But here before the people, God vindicated him by the same pillar of fire. See? Remember, he talked about the camera. Now watch. Are you reading? Are you letting your minds get way out? He just got ears, let him hear. He's letting you know, I'm trying to tell you something about my ministry, where I stand with God, where God stands with me, and we all stand together. And if you get this, you're going to get something. If you don't, then I'm sorry for you, but it's all over. Now, people will say, well, that's right. Back in the days of Moses, you blew it. Back in the days of Paul, you could blow it. What about this day? Well, it's different because, you see, we're the very thing the Pharisees said. You see, brother, sister, how everything is Alpha and Omega so perfect? My, the prophet is... There's nobody like William Branham, brother. Let's face it. And the only reason that's because of God. He didn't get this on his own. When God appeared to Moses in the pillar of fire, when he called him to his ministry, and Moses came and told the people about it, they couldn't believe it. Yet he did the miracles and things, but this time he visibly, scientifically appeared and vindicated Moses' ministry to be the same God that spoke to him, because he appeared in the form of the pillar of fire and said the mountain of fire. And he came to Moses in the bush, spoke to him. All right. God's first appearing to Moses in the burning bush, veil. Before the people, God veiled again and vindicated Moses by the veil by veiling himself with the same fire came down. from them so they could only hear God's word. You get it? Just the word. They heard his voice. For Moses was to them the living word. Moses was to them the living word. All right, who is Jesus' living word? He had to be his antitype, and this is going to be in the small type to the great antitype. See? See, God had so proven that word by Moses. He said to Moses, go down there, I'll be with you. There's not nothing going to stand before you. I am that I am. What about what the angel said to Brother Branham? Not even cancer will stand before you if you get to be believed. And nothing could stand before him. Then everybody wanted the ministry. They did not want the ministry to change, but every time God sends a man like that, the ministry has to waver and go to one side so the word takes in preeminence. That's what Brother Branham said. There's no such thing as a true healing revival unless there's a new message. And that's what really bothers me in our groups, that so many people are trying to put a new patch on an old garment. If you want to look like a clown, brother, sister, that's the way to go. Now, pardon the expression, but it's horrible to think that. I think of my own clothes, but I want to put a nice new patch on an old garment. Even our kids got more brains. They fade their jeans out. Then they put old patches on. You don't get kids to put, you know, let's face it. They got more brains. The old is old with them, and new is new. They just keep old. Maybe some puts new patches on. I don't see too many. Moses came down and said, you might not believe this. But God appeared to me in a pillar of fire, and he told me these things. Oh, we got all kinds of things like that going on, Pharaoh said. Why, Pastor Pharaoh said, well, get it. You got a cheap magician trick. Well, I got magicians that can turn a stick into a serpent. Come here, magicians. They came over and did the same thing. Moses knew that, all about it. Nothing bothered him. See? How many impersonators he had didn't make a bit of difference. Moses just stood still, and first thing you know, they crawled around a while, and directly Moses' snake just eat the rest of them up. See why? Like those apostles, they couldn't explain it. Moses didn't know how God was going to do it, but he was going to do it. See? Now, in other words, what fantastic faith a true prophet of God has. Let's just check a little bit about faith in these gifted men. Let's go to Romans, the 12th chapter. I don't use much scripture when I'm reading along here, but once in a while I like to bring in a bit of scripture. Alrighty. The 12th of Romans, and we'll take verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now, that's a faith that you've got to have faith for the gift that you operate, and you will have faith for that gift. And it'll be just like natural to you. And then people try to do the same thing, and they can't do it. That's when they fall flat on their faces. See, it doesn't work. Or a ministry, let him wait in ministry. He that teacheth on teaching. They all got a proportion. He that exhorts on exhortation. He that giveth with simplicity. Some people can just give and give and just simply give and give, and money just keeps rolling into give and give. You say, I'd like to do that. You may not be in that category. See? You might be one that shows mercy with cheerfulness. I'd like that myself better than anything I've read so far. Because that shows at least you've got something inside of you that's humanistic and perhaps a little bit divine. You know, milk of human kindness, so to speak. Now remember, he said Jannes and Jambres and Jannes will return in the last days, see, impersonations. And they would deceive the very elect apostles, Matthew 24:24. See, just the same, things do the same kind of miracles, everything. Watch that word. A man says he does the miracles and still wants to believe there's three gods as always. Get away from that. You know that's wrong. See, no such thing. See the word, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What mouth has God got? The prophet's mouth. Genesis, one word. Over here, don't add or take, see? It's got to be the same word, see? Now, you know what Jesus on the cross cried, it's finished? And you know when the seals are open, the mysteries are over. So at the time that they crucified themselves, the Son of God afresh, it is finished again. See? It's all over. Do you remember that sermon that Brother Branham preached over there in Phoenix where his Bible stuck together, the leaf stuck together, you know? And he talks about that. Just stop a second, just for fun of it. I'm not given to these little flights of fancy, but I don't mind this one because I thought it wasn't too bad. He was trying to find John 16:21. Let's read John 16:21. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she delivered the child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man is born in the world. And you know that place that was stuck right there? That God referred him to Isaiah 61:1-2. All right, you take John 16 and turn it around. It becomes what? 61, right? And you take 21 and turned around becomes 1 and 2. So let's go back and look at Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. Now that's pretty fanciful, but let's just find out if I'm far off. I'm not far off at all. For this reason, that's what God told him to go to, right? 61. Okay, let's find out about 61. It has to do with that scripture there. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord anointed me to preach the good tidings to me. Saying, bind the broken heart, proclaim liberty to the captives, opening his prison to them that are blind, bound, to proclaim the acceptable year, Lord, and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now, the big thing is the day of the vengeance of our God. When God takes vengeance, and that word vengeance doesn't mean simply take revenge, it means to avenge. When God comes down and said, little bride, you didn't even do it, and the rest of you are going to burn if you don't change. And that's the hour that the Son is going to come forth in flesh, the man. In other words, our day of sorrow, I read out of Hebrews 12, we've got our problems, our times, we've heard the last voice speak, we've seen the last sign, church has got our last sign, we know where we stand, and we're going to bring him back to earth with us. So that's very peculiar, isn't it? Okay? It's the last hour, brother, sister. It's finished. It's all over. It's just merged with eternity, and the last little things are just being done by the Lord. Notice, the people saw something that had happened. Moses had been veiled. He was a prophet. And God had vindicated his word. Now, went down there, and he saw signs and wonders. Then after this, people got separated unto themselves. The church, see, church means called out, see. After they were called out of the world, they became a people. And then God let himself be known that he was that pillar of fire. He proved Moses' message, see, he was the pillar of fire. They might have taken pictures of it, see. That's what I wanted to come to. I guess if they'd have had cameras, because it was all on fire. But they proved that, God proving that the message is right. Talking about his own message. And the message was at hand, everything was. They were going to be Exodus, veiled his prophet to this Exodus people. So Moses was veiled in a pillar of fire, the pillar of fire was in him, and yet Moses was also veiled to the people because they didn't really understand. There was something wrong with them. They said, let's go back to Egypt with the leeks and the onions and the garlic and all those things. That's good vegetables, but a little bit strong for a Christian, I guess. It's a little odious. They didn't need that. God gave them manna. But notice they were going to go back there. They wanted to go back. The people think, saw something that happened to him. He was different from the rest of the Israelites. He was different. His message was different. He was different from the priest. Different many things. See? Different person. The people saw something happen. God had veiled himself and his prophet. There you are, God and the prophet now. To speak his words to them. That's what he'd done. Moses was that living word to the people. Veiled by the pillar of fire. Now, speaking what was to be veiled later behind badger skins. Now, you know, he's talking about badger skins to get to human skin. He's taking everything in the book, weaving it back and forth, and showing you what he is doing standing here with this word. What has gone on? How God's revealing himself. The whole thing is a picture of his own ministry. Moses was that living word to the people. He had to be, or he couldn't have touched Jesus. Amen. He was that hour. Yep. Speaking words to be veiled later behind badgers, because that was in the Ark of the Covenant and put in the tabernacle. The word had come from Moses first, see? The word had to come from Moses first, see? And other people could teach it. Moses had the word. They were written by God. Nobody could interpret them. Moses had to interpret them first. Now you see, not only now is he talking about giving a word, he's talking about interpreting the word. See, so watch that one, you see? That puts him in divine order, Brother Branham in divine order. That's the reason he veiled his face, because do you see it? See, here it is. We could pick it, pack it up, and everything else there, but it's got to be revealed. In order to reveal, Moses had to become God to the people. Now, that's what he's trying to say. Look, I am God to you people now, and I am revealing. Do what you want with it. Now, that's the way we stand here in this church, and I know you stand with me. We believe categorically that William Branham was God to the people. And when God was in that man bringing forth the word, we were not looking at a man, we were looking at God for all intents and purposes. God was veiled. I know people don't like that. They think it's worse idolatry than Catholicism, but I got news for you. We're right and they're wrong. You say that's nonsense. Well, it certainly isn't nonsense, of course. Why, he told Moses himself, you'll be God and Aaron will be your prophet. That's exactly right. Everybody that, even that witnesses correctly to this message is literally your prophet. Under Brother Branham being God. Now we're all witnesses. You see? So here he comes, see? he had to veil himself, because God's always behind the veil. Oh my, do you see it? God's hidden from the public. said, Father, I thank you. You've hid it from the wise and prudent, revealed it, babes, to those who want to learn. In other words, those who want answers, those who want the real truth. God hid behind the veil. Moses veiled his face. All right, now Moses, God was in Moses, hidden in a human veil, and Moses put a veil over his face. Moses was the living word veiled then. The people saw that pillar of fire, said, now we're satisfied. See, let Moses speak. See, don't let God speak lest we die. Moses walked right in that pillar of fire. See, now, we never had the privilege of doing that. That's taken from us. We've got a camera picture in this here. That's all we got. But we saw the manifestation and saw what the words of no man could do, only the words of God. We know the scripture says, I will deal with you through a prophet from this time on. Therefore, we are bound to believe what the prophet says in this hour, and we take it in this respect. There's no way of it. So I say, I'll tell you what, if I was back there with that pillar of fire, you're obligated now, my brother, my sister. You're just asking for a double dose of condemnation. And I'm not redressing you, and I say, you know, a lot of these tapes go all over the country now, and who cares where they go or don't go? I'm not trying to sell tapes or anything else. But knowing the ministry goes out that far, I must put my words the way they are, hoping someone will be helped. I don't know. I haven't got any idea what's going to happen. Moses was a living word veiled then. What else would he have been? What did he bring but the living word? Don't tell me that word didn't live. See, this is where people are are so, what you might call, what was it? Not dissatisfied, but contentious. Contentious is the word. See? I ran across a guy like that in Hong one time. I had to say my phrase about five different ways before he was even catching it, but he was going to be bumptious enough to tell me I was wrong. I don't know what the man had, but he was dealing with the wrong person when he's dealing with me on that, because I knew what the prophet said, and I knew my way around the prophet. I don't care where you'd be in Holland all you want. You'd call you stubborn as a Dutchman. You'd be stubborn as any Dutchman you want, but I got news for you. You'll go to hell defying the prophet of God. Amen. You will. And in this day, there'll be longer suffering than in the day when they didn't have light. Because from much is given, much is required. I'm not trying to make a tough on anybody, but you got to let your mind go. You just got to let your mind go. And when your mind goes, your heart will begin to go. And then you watch the equilibrium of God will begin to come in. You'll be able to bear the yoke. You'll find that easier than sin. See, now he said, I won't speak to them anymore like this. I'll give them a prophet. See, that's the way he always did it. See, said, now let them. But this prophet has to have his word. If he's veiled with the tradition, God never sent him. If he's veiled with the word, God will vindicate it. God interprets his own word. Moses spoke them. God interpreted them. Amen. Now, this language here is a bit obtuse. It's a bit peculiar. First of all, the people are veiled, creeds and dogmas. Now, their prophets are veiled with the creeds and dogmas too. And so what you got, evidently, the veil that was on their prophets or their theologians, they just put the same veil on the people. They got the same veil. In other words, the thing is misted over. And everything got a veil to it. But what is veiled? What is there that is behind that very thing? Call it a facade. Call it what you want. What is it? Is it the Word of God, or is there something that's not the Word of God? See, God had veiled himself in this prophet. Moses said, the Lord said so. And the Lord, I better read up here again. If he's veiled with the word, God will vindicate it. God interprets his own word. Moses spoke them. God interpreted them. Amen. Moses said, the Lord said so. The Lord did just what he said. He made it right. That's Deuteronomy 18. Now he said, now Moses, you understand. The people understand. Now see, I've showed you. I've vindicated you. God had veiled himself in this prophet to speak this word to the people. Moses was the living God to them. The living word of God made manifest. That's actually saying Logos in view. Why didn't Brother Branham say you're all Christ? Everybody smiles. All of the Christ, all Messiah. He said, and then next. Then give them the real truth. Oh, my. Suddenly, they're big shots. How many big shots here on the side of Rockefeller with billions? Or Hunts? Well, I got 50 cents myself. But I wouldn't want to write a check for $1 billion. Oh, it'd be fun if I, you know, anybody believe me, it'd be a big joke on them. That's people for you, brother, sister. But you realize if even Moses glorified himself, what a job the little guy's got out here that's just full of his own little tantrums and puny ideas. See, my, you know, the smaller a person is, the more vicious he is. You know that? Brother Branham made a statement to me, he saw on tape, he made it to me years ago when I first met him. He said, when the king met him and talked to him, and these great men, he said, you know, Lee, he said, they make you feel like you're important. Oh, goody goody gumdrops for some big people that are big, but the, too many, the little people are not. They're vindictive and what have you. I guess I categorize way down the totem pole. He said, I've vindicated you. God had veiled himself in this prophet to speak his word to you. Moses was the living God to them, the living word of God made manifest. That's the reason his face was veiled, see. In other words, William Branham did the same thing. He could produce everything he was supposed to produce, showed exactly who he was, and then just played it right off. Walked right away. I never said I'm prophet. You said I'm prophet. Well, he said, that's just a word people use. That means a preacher. Talk about great men, great ministries. Walked right away like he had nothing. Every single time, walked off like he had nothing. He said, why didn't he get up there and tell who he is and what he is? He did. He did. But he was veiled to the people. His manners, his characteristics, all of those things were an actual veil to the people. Okay. We're going to call it enough because it is just over an hour. It's almost an hour and a half. Shall we rise at this time then, Sunday morning, 10:30. Keep praying. I'd like you to pray for Brother Paul Bergen yet because they found that his stomach was evidently ruptured by some drugs he took. I think the sore was there perhaps ahead of time. Now they found he's got a virus in the blood. I don't think it's identified. And they said he could come home maybe Friday, but I doubt it very much because I doubt very much they release a man with virus the way he's been. So we continue to pray for him, Lord, to deliver him to me. I believe he's going to be fine myself. I don't know that I've got any revelation I can tell you. I got something from God because I don't know that I have, but I just believe that he's going to be fine. Heavenly Father, we thank you now again for the time we've had together, Lord, to look into this word, currying it, Lord, combing it almost word by word. And we thank you, Father, that you're helping us to see these things and by the sheer force of repetition and looking at them so constantly and consistently that it's beginning to dawn upon us and we're finding ourselves at ease with what we're knowing and finding ourselves a part of it and it a part of us. And Lord, may we just understand more until it becomes living as we'd like it to live in the sense of that facility, O God, and that just that oneness with it, Lord, because that's the thing that's really going to count. We identify with it in the solemnity of a revealed truth. And that's what we pray for. We love you tonight, Lord, and we just ask you now that we might all be lambs led by the dove. Fill our hearts with the Holy Spirit, with that love, O God, that we might project that love and not be of ourselves, but be of you, Lord. Just meeken us right down, Lord, until we're meek and lowly and understand what it is to be meek and lowly, to just walk in that Spirit of Christ, yoked with him and he with us, that we might present not ourselves, but Christ to the world. You, O Lord, tonight, as even as Paul prayed, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I pray that we'll also all live by the faith of the Son of God. I wouldn't want that by myself, Lord, that I might be some kind of a figure, because where would it go? But Lord, if all of us together, all by the faith of the Son of God, and that life in us, that's just, Lord, multiplied cords, and multiplied cords won't break. They'll just keep moving down, moving down, moving down, and then finally moving up. So Father, make us one tonight in your word and in the Holy Spirit, and joy and rejoicing in the Lord God. The fullness of heaven, Lord, waits us, and we know that. That's all that really is waiting now, because everything else is here to provide for that very thing. And Father, we appreciate it. Heal the sick amongst us, Lord. Dissolve doubts. Help us in all ways. And no matter what it is, Lord, if it be spiritual, which we do need spiritual help, physical, which we do need, and many times it's a financial, Lord, with jobs and those things, O God, we pray that you'll be glorified, Lord, by being the great provider and great sustainer in every one of these things, because you are our life and you have appeared, and soon we shall appear in glory with you. So all things are now ours, as the prophet said. All is in plain view. What a wonderful day in which we live. May we never, ever disbelieve that, Lord, but always go on until it increases, as the scripture said, more and more, and we rejoice more and more. And now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you. Let's just sing, Take the Name of Jesus.
Would you rather feed if you don't mind?